The Dangers of Not Following the Constitution on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. Along with me today, as usual, is my Vice Chairman, co-host, good friend, and fellow analyst, Chuck Michaels.
Good to be here, and yes, folks, if you're thinking to yourself, oh gosh, they're going to talk about the Constitution again, yes, you're right, we are.
That shouldn't be cause for dread, Chuck. I mean, obviously, the Constitution is a rule book that helps us to have liberty under law in this country if our elected officials will follow it.
And therein lies the rub. And one of the things that you and I have talked about here, and just to jump ahead a little bit, this idea that we need a new constitutional convention because the Constitution obviously isn't working in the area of a balanced budget, to which you and I laugh and say, well, the Constitution is not the problem, folks. It's the men and women we elect to be our representatives who ignore it. And changing it will not make those same people who took an oath to uphold it obey it, the new one, any better than the one we have now.
Well, that's true. That's one of the dangers. But there are other dangers to not following the Constitution that we have now. And I think that's more of what we're going to be talking about today. You know, you earlier this week shared with me an article that you had found that discussed some of those potential dangers. And I want to kind of turn it over to you, Chuck, to kind of lead the discussion today on that, because, you know, this is an area that's near and dear to both of our hearts, but one where you've done a lot more research than I have.
I read an article in the National Review, not a magazine I frequent very often, but I saw this article and it was something that I thought I found very interesting. It's by an author named Yuval Levin. The title is "What is Constitutional Conservatism?" And I think that's a very important question because, frankly, right now, there are no constitutional conservatives. Well, perhaps one or two running for the presidency of the United States, and there are darn few of them running for any Congress, any seat in Congress at the moment, because there are darn few of them in Congress at the moment. But I'm going to jump right into it. One of the main suggestions that's coming up these days is that part of our frustration here in this country with getting legislation passed has to do with we have a little bit too much, quote unquote, too much democracy. You and I both know, Barry, that and we've taught this over and over and over again. First of all, we don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic. And the difference is what the basis of law is. And the fact is that we live in a limited constitutional republic wherein the power of the government is limited by law, and that's higher law from God. It's based on God's word. We can squawk about that all we want, but the fact is that the founders used biblical legislative models to build the Constitution. Now, of course, those kind of things evolved. They also used Parliament and those kinds of things, but again, Parliament was based on biblical law through things like the common law and that kind of thing. We have a short time today, so we won't go into that. Basically, we need less democracy is the cry from people like Peter Orszag, who was President Obama's former budget director. He wrote this in the New Republic. And basically, his big suggestion was that we needed to take power away from Congress and give it to automatic policies and depoliticized commissions that will be shielded from public pressure. Radical as it sounds, we need to counter the gridlock of our political institutions by making them a bit less democratic. The whole point is that, first of all, Congress is not a democratic institution. It is a Republican representative institution.
That's correct.
The fact is that one of the problems what Orszag is really saying here is you need to hand unbridled power over to the executive branch, and we need to stop having all this resistance to gigantic government spending programs. In order to do that, we need to turn things over to commission. It would be blue ribbon panels that would do things like come up and tell the president what we need to spend money on. The president would then allow these commissions to implement these things. And what a lot of people don't know is this kind of goes hand in hand with these ideas that we've talked about with these proposed constitutional conventions. I've done some study on one of the model constitutions that goes along with this, and it's called the New States Constitution. And this is precisely the kind of mechanism that is in there. Basically, Congress is stripped of much of its power, and a lot of its power is handed over to commissions that are blue ribbon panels and the like that are under the auspices. They're under a separate branch of government, but they're really in the control of the executive branch.
Correct.
This is an extremely dangerous. I mean, essentially what it does is it creates an emperor who has total control of the economy, total control of production, and total control of everything having to do with how the government runs, with an advisory body in the form of a bicameral legislature.
Are you sure that advisory body would be a legislature, or would it be a group of czars who are appointed by that executive?
It's interesting you bring that up, because the czar concept is all through the new state's constitution. Now, what's ironic about this is the driving party behind these calls for new constitutional conventions are Republicans, who are doing them on the basis that our spending is out of control, and the only way to get spending controls, because these guys can't govern themselves. Why we're sending them to Washington to govern us when they can't govern themselves, I don't know. But the fact is, they can't govern themselves, so we need to give them these shackles. And the only way we're going to get them is through a new constitutional convention. That's not going to happen. What these Republicans are being hoodwinked into doing is calling for a constitutional convention, which they will have no control over who gets appointed to be a delegate to this thing. And these delegates are going to come up with this new constitution. And it's going to have a lot of it's probably not going to be a verbatim of this new state's constitution. But it's going to be a strong model. In other words, a lot of the things that are in there are going to end up in the new Constitution. And people keep saying to themselves, we'll be protected from that by the ratification procedure that's contained in Article 5. Not so fast, because I can tell you that the new state's Constitution has an entirely different ratification procedure. And if precedent holds and we get a new constitution out of a convention, we're going to get a different ratification procedure. And my guess would be it's going to be some kind of a democratic plebiscite, probably electronic, which means massive fraud, which means we're going to get a new constitution.
Well, we've already heard that, Chuck. I mean, even our own state secretary of state had been proposing voting by the net, voting by internet for our regular elections. So I can imagine what the problems might be with having a national election all voted on electronically online.
Oh, it's going to be a fraudulent nightmare. It's bad enough now with allegations with Diebold and all those things, which have never borne out to be true. But the fact is, there have been other kinds of ballot fraud. And how many people in Ohio were convicted over stuff in the 2010 election? And someone just in Indiana got prosecuted for gigantic, there's fraud everywhere in the election process. Let me tell you, electronic voting is going to be just an absolutely gigantic fraud.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, honestly, Chuck, I think we might be better off going back to the days of having a card and a stylus, and you punch the hole, not pre-perforated, but you punch an actual physical hole in the card to your choice for your candidate. And if you mess up, you tear up the card and void it, and then you go back and get another one and do it again.
Well, you know, I have friends who are heavy into the paper ballot thing, and I understand where they're coming from. A paper ballot, it's very difficult to miscount a paper ballot. But it can be done because, let's face it, Landslide Lyndon Johnson got that name because he won an election by somewhere around 40 votes in the 1940s. And he won that election in a town where people apparently all voted alphabetically, and some of them were dead.
That happens fairly frequently. I think that happened in the 2008 presidential election in Ohio. It always happens when people are circulating petitions that you find people rising up out of their graves to sign for such popular items as, legalizing medical marijuana or repealing regulations on adult businesses or fighting against one man, one woman marriage. It seems to happen all the time.
Well, I seem to remember in 2006, there was an incident where somebody went into a building and basically got the building directory and went through and signed the names for everybody in the building directory.
Yes, indeed.
So these kind of things happen, and what we're basically doing is we're handing over our representation to these people who can, basically what this is a call for is a rule by expert. or what another name that pops up in this article is technocracy. That sounds really cool. When you first hear it, it's ruled by technology. That's not really what it means. What it means is we're too stupid to make a decision for ourselves how our money should be spent. We need to hand everything over to it to quote unquote budget experts to decide for us.
Oh,
well,
okay.
No, thank you. I've seen what rule by experts can do. Anybody who's worked in the corporate world where bean counters run everything in companies that have turned everything over to the accounting department rather than to the departments that know how things are manufactured or those kinds of things knows what I mean. And the fact is that accountants are very good at counting money and they're very bad at proposing equipment and proposing manpower requirements and proposing the raw materials that you would buy based on the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Very often you watch a company who turns things over to the quote-unquote experts very often finds itself bankrupt or in some kind of major sales problems because they didn't listen to the people who actually knew how things work. And those people didn't count themselves as experts. They were simply people who were experienced in the process. So one of the problems we're running into is that everybody wants to turn over things that have worked very well in the past through the representative process. Suddenly we have to have experts handle it because it's too complex now. It's not like it was in the past. It's too complex now. Well, nonsense. It's just as complex back then as it is now. It's just a little bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's too big, then maybe we better break up some of the responsibility and hand it back down the line to the state governments where we can handle it locally. Thank you very much. Rather than handing it up the line to unelected experts.
Well, you know, it reminds me of some material that I've read in the past by a great thinker by the name of Neil Postman. And he wrote a book called Technopoly. And that kind of, I just got to thinking about that as you're talking about this, because if we had an emperor type who had a number of technocrat czars underneath of him who were making all the decisions, and there was no, you know, people did not have any direct role in their government or even an indirect role through elected representatives, what you'd end up with is a technopoly where those who are the technical experts become the only source of authority. And that would be very dangerous. Now, you know, I saw that article that you talked about by Yuval Levin, and he said something in it, and I wanted to quote that here because I think he's right, because it talks about what our Constitution does. And he says that as the framers saw it, both the populist version, where it's direct democracy, and technocratic politics, where there's rule by the technical experts, were expressions of a modern hubris about the capacity of human beings, be it of the experts or of the people as a whole, to make just the right governing decisions. The Constitution is built upon a profound skepticism about the ability of any political arrangement to overcome the limitations of human reason and human nature, which, as we've talked before on this program, the basic nature of man is not good. It's evil. God's word is very clear on that. We're born into sin, and we're conceived in sin, born into sin, and through Adam, through original sin, and it's only through Christ that we're redeemed from that. And so, and it goes back to say, and so establishes a system of checks to prevent sudden large mistakes while enabling gradual changes supported by a broad and longstanding consensus. Experts should not govern, nor should the people do so directly, democracy, but rather the people's representatives should govern in a system filled with mediating institutions and opposing interests, a system designed to force us to see problems and propose solutions from a variety of angles simultaneously, and as Alexander Hamilton puts it in Federalist 73, to increase the chances in favor of the community against the passing of bad laws through haste, inadvertence, or design. That's the genius of our Constitution and the reason why even good, well-meaning representatives shouldn't go tinkering with it and opening it up to being totally rewritten and wholesale overthrown through a new constitutional convention.
And Ohio Republicans stand a real chance of turning the governance of our nation over to basically what amounts to panels of experts. And in the Soviet Union, these people were called the Soviet being a committee of experts who knew how to run things. That is the Soviet system. No, thank you. I think we should pass on that.
Absolutely.
We are actually out of time today, so I'm going to say tune in tomorrow at 5:30 for another Principles and Policies program. Join us at www.principledpolicy.com to leave a comment or a suggestion. Come on out and give us a donation. We'd appreciate it. Help keep us on the air. www.principledpolicy.com. Thank you.